Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Firearms, Transportation, New York City, and the Second Amendment Edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On December 2, 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court heard argument in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association Incorporated versus City of New York, a case involving a dispute over whether New York City rules which limit transportation of licensed firearms to ranges within New York City limits and certain state-designated hunting areas violates the Second Amendment, the Dormant Commerce Clause, and the constitutional right to travel. Under New York state law, possessing a firearm without a license is prohibited. New York City issues premises licenses that permit possession of a pistol or revolver to a particular address, and under City Rule 523, such firearms may not be lawfully removed from that address except for transport directly to or from authorized ranges within New York City limits, as well as state-designated hunting areas. The plaintiffs in this case, who hold New York City premises licenses, wish to transport their firearms to shooting ranges, competitions, and their homes outside of New York City. They sued for injunctive relief in federal district court, alleging that Rule 523's restrictions violated the Second Amendment and were otherwise invalid under the Dormant Commerce Clause, the First Amendment right of expressive association, and the fundamental right to travel. The district court rejected all of these claims and dismissed the case. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, applying intermediate scrutiny to the Second Amendment claims, affirmed. The Supreme Court, however, subsequently granted cert to address whether the city's ban on transporting a licensed, locked, and unloaded handgun to a home or shooting range outside city limits is consistent with the Second Amendment, the Commerce Clause, and the constitutional right to travel. And now, to discuss the case, we have Robert Leiter, professor at George Mason University.
My name is Robert Leiter, and I'm an assistant professor of law at the George Mason University Antonin Scalia Law School. On Monday, December 2nd, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus the City of New York. Much as expected, the oral argument focused on whether the case was moot rather than on the substance of petitioner's Second Amendment claims. Given the concessions at oral argument by New York City's counsel, the court will likely hold that the case is moot. Let me give a brief background of the case. New York issues two main types of handgun licenses to civilians, premises licenses and carry licenses. Premises licenses are issued to those with good moral character, and they are valid only in a specific home or place of business. Carry licenses are issued to those who have proper cause, and they are valid without regard to employment or place of possession. New York courts allow licensing officials to restrict carry licenses to specific causes because of the broad authority otherwise generally conferred by such licenses. For example, a licensing official can restrict a license for target shooting or hunting only. And if a person carries a firearm outside of these activities, the licensing official can revoke the license. But, and importantly for this case, the license holder does not face any criminal penalties for violating the licensing restrictions. Now, New York City used to issue carry licenses that were restricted to specific activities, such as for target shooting only. But some carry license holders had violated the city's rules on transporting guns outside the home, and New York City had lost efforts to prosecute those licensees in court for committing a criminal offense. So what the city ended up doing was moving away from issuing restricted carry licenses, and instead it began issuing premises licenses, which the city would purport to endorse for transportation to and from target ranges and hunting locations. And the city limited the target shooting endorsement to firing ranges only within New York City. So license holders could not transport their firearms to ranges or to shooting competitions outside of the city. And because premises licensees were restricted to their homes or businesses by state law, they were not able to transport their firearms to second homes or businesses in upstate New York. So that's what prompted the litigation here. Petitioners hold New York City premises licenses, and they sought an injunction requiring the New York City police to issue endorsements for second homes and for ranges outside of the city. The petitioners did not seek damages, and this fact would become important at oral argument in deciding whether the case was moot. The district court denied the injunction. The Second Circuit affirmed. The court held that the city's limitation to ranges inside of the city did not violate the Second Amendment, the First Amendment right of association, the Commerce Clause, or the right to travel. The Supreme Court granted certiorari. After the Supreme Court granted review, New York officials tried to moot the case. First, the city changed its rules to authorize non-city ranges and second homes. And then the legislature stepped in and amended state law to provide that premises license holders statewide may transport their firearms in locked cases to ranges and between homes and businesses as long as the trip was, quote, continuous and uninterrupted. In light of this legislative change, the justices spent most of oral argument asking the advocates to defend their positions on whether the case was moot. Paul Clement, arguing on behalf of the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, argued that a declaration that the city's rules violated the Second Amendment would still have three main effects. First, it would forever prevent the city from enforcing its transportation ban. Second, it would prevent the city from taking adverse licensing decisions based on a license holder's previous violations of the rules. And third, it would expand petitioners' right to transport guns beyond the narrow specific exemptions in New York law. Mr. Clement ran into significant problems with each argument. As far as the transportation ban is concerned, the city is already prohibited by state law from reenacting it. State law not only gives premises license holders the right to transport guns between ranges, shooting competitions, homes, and businesses, it also preempts inconsistent local ordinances. So a change in the city's regulations would require the concurrence of the legislature, the governor, and the city's rulemaking official. On whether the city could still revoke the licenses of people who had previously transported their guns in violation of the city's rules, the city was happy to concede that it would take no such adverse action against the licensees. Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Gorsuch, and Justice Kagan all pressed Richard Deering, who represented the city, on whether there was any possibility that premises license holders would face consequences from previous violations of the city's ban. And Mr. Deering unequivocally stated that he was representing to the court on the record that no such adverse collateral consequences would occur. On this issue, Mr. Clement likely has an uphill battle to convince the court that any live issue remains. As Mr. Deering noted during oral argument, the petitioners have already renewed their premises licenses multiple times. It seems highly unlikely that the city would revoke their licenses now or would refuse to subsequently renew them. And no petitioner has suffered any such consequences or appears to be in imminent danger of that. Much of the argument then focused on the last issue, whether New York's limited exceptions for continuous and uninterrupted journeys afford petitioners complete relief. Much of the questioning involved whether license holders could stop for a cup of coffee on the way to the range. And Justice Alito pressed Mr. Deering on whether license holders could visit their mothers. In response to this salvo, Mr. Deering refused to draw a bright line. He made clear that continuous and uninterrupted was not to be taken hyper-literally, and that, quote, reasonably necessary stops in the course of travel, unquote, were acceptable. A stop for a cup of coffee, he said, was not a problem, but long deviations would be. Mr. Deering said that many of these cases would be fact-specific, and New York would need to work these out case by case. In any event, no petitioner has yet suffered any adverse consequences from deviating during transportation under the new rules. If the court decides that this case is not moot because the city's exemptions must allow for substantial deviations from authorized purposes, the court could upend substantial swaths of state and federal criminal law concerning the transportation of firearms. Many states, both in restrictive and non-restrictive jurisdictions, have limited exceptions to the requirement that individuals obtain a license to carry a firearm. For example, they may authorize transportation of unloaded firearms between homes and businesses or between homes and the shooting range. The courts in these states generally hold that the travel must be reasonably direct. So the courts will allow some stops incident to travel. For example, an unlicensed person can transport his firearm on the way to hunting, may still fill up his car with gas. But these courts will not allow individuals to transport their firearms all day simply because they may have engaged in an authorized activity at some point during the day. Federal courts have held the same about the federal transportation law, which allows individuals to transport their guns through restrictive states to another destination. Again, the courts have held that the transportation must be reasonably direct and any stops must be incident to travel. A decision that New York has to allow license holders to visit their mothers for hours could therefore have wide-reaching effect on the constitutionality of these limited exceptions to state licensing laws. The Solicitor General pressed one last theory for why the case is not moot, that petitioners could amend their complaint and seek damages. Justice Ginsburg, Justice Kagan, and Justice Sotomayor pressed that petitioners had not sought damages throughout the litigation, but most of the court did not engage with the Solicitor General's argument, so it's hard to know what the court will do on this issue. Finally, the merits of the case received the least amount of attention. The city's rules had few supporters. Even Justice Ginsburg, who dissented in Heller, asked with regard to the ban on transporting pistols to second homes, quote, "What public safety or any other reasonable end is served by saying you have to have two guns instead of one, and one of those guns has to be maintained in a place that is often unoccupied and that therefore is more vulnerable to theft?" The city did not offer a defense except to say that the city had not contemplated the issue when it wrote the rule. Given oral argument, it seems likely that the court will dismiss the case as moot. The city has essentially offered everything that the petitioners have asked for in the original complaint, and petitioners' arguments for why the city has not offered complete relief rest on speculative applications of the new regulation or speculative harms from old violations. To keep this case live, petitioners undoubtedly will need support from the court's five conservative members, and quite possibly all five. And they will likely not find an ally in the Chief Justice, who has previously said that Article 3 will not allow courts to adjudicate claims where the plaintiff won't take yes for an answer. If the court decides that the case is moot, the news for gun owners may not be all bad. The court has several petitions regarding whether the Second Amendment grants some right to carry loaded firearms for self-defense outside the home. A circuit split exists on this issue, and many of these cases are being held in abeyance pending the decision in the New York case. The court's decision to take the New York case likely signaled that the court does not wish to resolve the public carry issue. But if the court decides that the New York case is moot, it will place more pressure on the court to grant review in one of the public carry cases.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.